Welcome to the GNA Podcast, Games, Nerds, and Alcohol, where we get messed up and talk about stuff. The second episode of the new year and coming back. Zybra's sitting here joining me tonight. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling all right, other than, the fabled information that you should always pay attention to as you get older.
Oh, the three rules of an aging male.
Yep. Never waste a boner.
Never pass a bathroom.
Yep. Never trust a fart. I trusted a fart.
That tracks. That totally tracks. Dude, did I tell you about our last session of D&D where...
You did not.
Okay, so a couple of people got stuck and they were acting as guards at Asmodeus's lair, of all things. And another guard was patrolling the area. Two of the group were off, like, basically playing dice with four other guards to keep them occupied, and there was like basically one guard roaming around. They kept pushing the envelope and getting like close hiding, till eventually it failed. And the guy immediately does the trope of, oh man, yeah, dude, I ate something really bad. I had to go to the bathroom. I was looking for a bathroom, man. And I even said, I even went like, the guard's not believing you. Like, he's got the look on his face of like, I don't know about this. And he goes, I want to try to fart. And I went, okay, if you mess this up, you know what happens, right? It's like, yeah. So he rolls a natural one. I said, bro, you just tried to push out a fart and you shit your pants. I said, that's the bad news. The good news is the guard believes that you ate something bad and that you had to find a bathroom, because there's no way somebody would just shit their pants for a story like that. It was pretty funny. Well, man, as we all know, we got to do this. We got to do the segments of the show. What is everybody drinking? I myself am sipping off of this kind little bottle of, I'm not really 100% sure what it is. I think it might be whiskey. It smells more like scotch, maybe a bourbon. All I know is it's got a nice woody flavor to it. Hell, it could be wood alcohol. I might be going blind soon. Who knows? What are you drinking, man? Or what are you having?
Myself, I am tossing back a Guinness Stout.
Good old classic. Love old Guinness Stouts. Such a fantastic one.
Or when you want to drink, but you have shit to do.
Yeah. Or when you want to drink and you want to shit.
That too.
At least it's not Dragon's Blood. Man, that stuff goes right through me.
Yep.
Oof. Well, State of Games. State of Games is where we talk about what we've been playing for the past week, or we just talk about games in general. So, what's your State of Games there, guy?
My State of Games has been pretty eclectic. Played this little game that's called Skull. It's kind of like Shovel Knight. I've also played Celeste and finally beat it and did it in a very good time run. And it made me realize how much I hate playing games where you race the clock. I also played a game that you sent me. I can't remember the name of it.
Enshrouded.
Yes, Shrouded. Is pretty interesting game. It gives me a bit of Valheim vibes. I've played a few things, but like some of it eludes me right now as to the name of the games.
I was going to say, it was your birthday in the past couple of weeks.
Yes,
actually, the past week. What am I saying? Past couple of weeks. It was birthday in the past week.
This past Monday.
So how does it feel to be 21 finally? Be able to drink legally?
Feels pretty good, especially considering when you're born in a leap year.
Right? Man. It's like dog years, man.
Right? But in this case, it's every 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I said like. I didn't mean exactly. Cool, man. How are you liking Enshrouded?
Enshrouded is pretty decent. It has a lot of work to do. There's things that you can get to, but like it gives you messages, incomplete asset or something like that, or this will be coming soon. It's like pre-alpha or something like that. So they're still working on the game. There's a lot that they're trying to do. I also dove into that Waterworld game. Sunken Land.
Yeah, Sunken Land.
They did some updates on that recently, so I wanted to check that out. It's getting there. I think Sunken Land has promise too.
You know, I was watching Enshrouded. I was watching some videos in Enshrouded. In fact, that's why I picked it up for you for your birthday, because I was looking at it. I'm like, man, this looks a lot like Valheim. Yeah. I was like, I'm getting a Valheim feel from it. And I remember we had a great time playing Valheim. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get it quite yet, but maybe I'll throw it at Cyber, because it looks good. It looks like something you'd enjoy. It looks like something to be have fun with. And
yeah,
eventually at the point, I'll grab it and I'll maybe we'll get a server stood up.
It's weird on the crafting end. It takes some getting used to. I mean, there are a lot of games that have similar crafting. Like, you can only do certain things from your inventory, and other things it requires a bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, some things it needs forge, like in Terraria or Starbound, where like you need all these things, or even 7 Days to Die. I mean,
or Valheim, where you had to get the different forges and the different, like, if you wanted to do woodworking stuff, you had to have that wood spot.
Yep,
very cool. So survival, is there bosses in it?
There, I haven't come across any yet. It's a pretty barren world, but when you're in the Shrouded Lands, your health steadily decays. So you have limited time in the Shrouded Lands, and a lot of the time I find myself having to go into the Shrouded Lands to do things.
Interesting.
But at least when you die, you resurrect with your inventory. So you don't have to run and collect all your belongings.
So that's a standard. It's not like a my God, I just was trying to think of something and immediately went through my brain was the song it was a song from Star Wars. It's a freaking cantina song. Just bump, yeah. Bump, 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 bump. And that literally just vocalized through me when I was trying to think of it. It'll come to me what the hell I was going to say. But anyways, it sounds like a fun game.
It is. It's pretty fun. How about yourself? What have you been knocking around?
Oh man, dude, I have suffered from what I think this entire generation has suffered from, which is gaming ADD. But I've focused for a bit for the past couple of weeks. I've been playing two games pretty consistently. One is a game called Exoprimal, came up by Capcom. It reminds me a lot of if you took Overwatch and Warframe, made them have sex in Jurassic Park, and this is the child that came out of it. It's a fun game. It's a quick third-person shooter style, multiple different frames, multiple different classes. Like, you've got damage, you've got tank, you've got support, and each one of them is genuinely fun to play on its, you know, in itself. Some frames obviously better than others, but yeah, there's got an unlocking progression so that you can like work your way through and unlock a whole bunch of stuff. A vast majority of the cosmetics are all unlocked in game just by playing, and you get the battle chests and whatnot. There are some paid cosmetics, like they did a cross with Monster Hunter recently and Street Fighter. So there's the Monster Hunter skins for a few frames, and there's the Street Fighter frames for Street Fighter cosmetics for a few of the frames. But it's fun. It's a shoot 'em up. You basically it's PvE, and then the second kind of phase half of it is either a PvE or a PvP session.
So to interrupt you for a second, you're saying the game isn't without its predatory aspects to the player?
No. So it's really okay. It's really not, because you can't pay for battle chests. Like, you just play the game and you get battle chests. I attune it more like Destiny. So in Destiny, everything that you can pay money on is all cosmetics. There's no illicit pay to win in it. So, like, for instance, super high the other night.
Still, I find even if you have cosmetic assets that you can pay for through their in-game currency or just directly buy these asset boxes or loot boxes, as some games call them, it's still a predatory aspect. You're asking for more money for a game.
Well, so you,
I mean, it's not required to continue or progress through the game. It's just there.
We can agree to disagree on that. Like, you can't buy loot boxes. So, like, that I would agree with. If it was like a, hey, you need to buy loot boxes, or there's some sort of progression via the loot boxes. Like, if you think a la Battlefield, or not Battlefield, Battlefront.
So, all the loot boxes in this are earned through playing?
Correct.
There's no direct causeway to buy, like, coins, tokens, or whatever to get more skins.
If there is a way to buy, so in the game there's a currency, I think they call it Bitcoin, and you play and you earn Bitcoin. You can use the Bitcoin to unlock frames or cosmetics or whatever you want, or you can play and get battle chests, and that unlocks cosmetics. Or if you so desire, you can go out and they have cosmetic packs out there that you can purchase to get the different cosmetic packs. Now, there is one thing in there, and you know what? Now that we're talking about it, you do bring up, and maybe this does kind of fall in that, and then maybe there is a pay-to-win aspect of it, now that you're saying that, because you can purchase early access to the frames that they unlocked. You can either play the game and unlock the frames, which I think I unlocked about half of them in a weekend. So you can either play to unlock the frames, or there is an early access for some of the frames. So you could unlock the rest of the frames just by, you know, paying to advance for. So, you know what? I retract my statement. I actually think, yeah, you know what? There is a little bit of predatory practices there. Now that I've thought about it and talked about it, I don't believe on the cosmetic side. So, like, that's where we differ is, like, if there's a game that's been out for, I don't care, 5 years. And they do work on making a cosmetic pack, and they say, hey, you know, we've got this new cosmetic pack where you can now look like Dante from Devil May Cry. I think they should get some money for that. I think, you know, they put more work into it, they put more effort into it. I think they should get more money for that. But that's, I mean, there's a lot of things that go around that. Like, has the game in good standing? Have they continued to update or patch
right,
it?
You but, know, things like, but also things like that. How you market it is crucial. I mean, wording is everything. And if they worded it in more of a sense of a buyable DLC to add skins, like some games do, I feel that's more honest than, oh, here's our store page in-game, give us like $5 for 10 tokens, but the skin costs like 87 tokens.
You're talking Dead by Daylight. No, they're not doing a Dead by Daylight. So I'm actually looking at the content for this game, and there's the Battle Pass, which honestly, Battle Passes are just a thing that we have to deal with now. They're always going to be there. They're going to be in probably every multiplayer game that's out there that they have servers for. So there's the Battle Pass for, you know, a premium tier skin cosmetic. Granted, it's also cosmetics. So, like, I bought the Battle Pass because I was level 48 of 50 of the Battle Pass. I'm like, well, I'll just spend the $10. I only got the game for $30. It's like, I'll spend the extra $10 and get the extra cosmetics that came with that. But looking through here, there's like the Exoprimal Barrage Monster Hunter set. So that's literally a skin pack for Barrage. You know, there's a Skywave Monster Hunter pack. Again, that's a skin pack for that specific exosuit in here. But, and this is where I put my big butt in, but they also have the Murasame Alpha early unlock ticket, which literally gives you access to Murasame Alpha by just spending, was it $4? Now you can get access to that frame by just simply playing Murasame, the regular Murasame, up to level 20, and then you purchase it for 15,000 Bitcoin in game. That's what I did. But there is this option there. So there is a little aspect of pay to win. So I mean, I gotta relent to that. In my opinion, I don't think it's that bad because you can unlock these things pretty quickly just by playing in game.
So I mean, yeah, I just say weigh your demons carefully.
Yeah,
when totally. It comes to those kind of games where you can exchange hard currency for a digital in-game currency, and it's not even a pay-to-win aspect. It's all external.
Yeah,
visual, like, bullshit that you can actually just earn normally in game.
Yeah,
but you have people out there that are so weak-willed to just dump boatloads of money on stuff like that.
Well, that actually brings up a great conversation and a great topic of, I mean, so first, let me just point out, Exoprimal does not have a buy your currency thing. So you literally, you can buy skins and cosmetic stuff and early unlocks for some of the frames. But like, there is no, you pay money and you get in-game currency that you then spend in the game. No, there's nothing of that. But you bring up a good point of people spending money on a game to unlock a portion of it. So there's an interesting argument that time equals money. So like, I work, I make money, I play games, I advance and unlock. Why can't I turn my time that I'm working and make the money to change that into an unlock in a game?
What?
Okay, I'll run that by again. So for instance, and I'm playing devil's advocate right now, so don't take this as this is my argument. This is an argument that's been presented to me before, and I have my own views on it. But you bring up a great point of it. So for instance, let's take Call of Duty. Call of Duty is a good one. You can buy in-game currency, or you can buy in-game unlocks to unlock weapons that it would normally take you X number of days, weeks, months, whatever to unlock by playing.
I thought Call of Duty was only skins.
And all right, so let's like go Battlefront.
Little baubles that you can attach to your gun.
Maybe it is. I was just, I know that there's a unlock. Well, let's look it up quick. Let me actually type in here. Call of Duty, let's go to Warzone. Sorry, I'm not permitted for this one. Really? I'm not old enough. That's your play?
Well, you keep on saying you're 7.
Or 6, or whatever okay. It is. All right. Touche, you got me. New page. There we go. Legendary in-game content for Call of Duty. Let's see what else we have here. Tracer pack, Vanguard points. So I'm looking at just Call of Duty Vanguard here. And I can purchase in-game currency called Vanguard points for everything up to $150 for 15,000 Vanguard points. Vanguard points are the in-game currency that can be used in Vanguard to obtain new content. Well, that was a weird beep. Call of Duty Vanguard game separate. CP purchased by this may be used.
It's just your in-game. FBI agent chiming in.
Oh, that's good. So this is to purchase in-game currency, which you can use the in-game currency to unlock weapons, to unlock skins, to unlock all sorts of stuff. So I think this falls into the, I think it falls into that realm. So take a look at Call of Duty. You've got guns that you can unlock. Different guns have different abilities or different attachments to them, which some guns are meta, some guns are not, yada, 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 yada. So we're taking a look at that and saying, hey, I can play Call of Duty for 40 hours and I can unlock X gun with X number of attachments. Or I work for, I don't know how much it'll be. Let's say it's, I don't know, 4 hours worth of work. I get paid 4 hours of work and that's what it costs to buy the Vanguard points to purchase that thing. The argument is that I worked those 4 hours, so I spent my time working to make that money, and I'm using that money instead to pay for playtime in the game that I would have normally played in the game instead. So the argument is that I can do whatever I want with my money, and if I use it to pay and advance my way in a game, then that's what I'm using to pay and advance in the game. So the time equals money thing.
Well, I still don't really follow, because like, you do that anyways. If you're earning in-game currency over, say, 4 hours of play, then yeah, that's what we're gonna do. You're gonna buy whatever you want at the market.
Mm-hmm.
But going the other route of actual currency that you do your, like, you know, part-time, full-time, salary, whatever based job at to buy said currency,
mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, Some people fall into that realm of buy addiction with stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that's where it becomes predatory. I would limit games or try to negotiate some sort of equalizer or something to those kind of transactions.
But that's what the argument is that I'm spending my money, which I took my time to make my money, and I'm spending my money to unlock those portions of the game versus spending my time in the game to unlock those portions of the game. So that's the argument.
Right. I mean, it becomes predatory because there are tons of people that fall into that trap and it's like gambling addiction. Everything that is released, oh, I got to get that. I need that.
It does play on that little portion of the brain. So I do agree with that. But,
Oh, that looks cool. I need that skin.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
$50 a real currency for me to get that. Okay. I got that this week.
So I'm not going to lie. I actually got super stoned last weekend and I was playing Exo Primal and they had a.
Hold on. All I need to know from you is Elite Dangerous.
Oh, voice packs. I got so drunk and bought those, man. I was on a quest to get every single one of those. I really was. No, but seriously. So like I saw this Guile, this Street Fighter Guile skin for one of the Exo frames. And I'm like, man, that's a really great skin. I really like that skin. I was super high and I'm like, I'm buying it. And I bought it. Now, granted, it was one of those skins that you can't unlock in the game. Because if it was there, I probably would have been like, oh, man, I'm just going to wait and unlock it in game. But no, I just got super stoned. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally buying this.
Right. I guess my main gripe is more of a fair exchange between actual currency and digital currency. Because in a lot of these games, I don't feel like the hard currency that we use in the real world is anywhere fair to what the in-game currency is that you're purchasing.
Well, I mean, that's a completely different debate, but I mean, I agree with you that there is a stark contrast, but it's companies making money. And
right, and it's all about getting those whales hooked to buying that currency.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, just like everything else in the world, if there is somebody willing to pay that, then they're going to leave it at that price, and that's how they make their money.
Hashtag my big whales.
My big gripe of the whole thing is, and like, okay, let me think this through so I don't like word vomit on you, because I have been drinking. My big gripe is the equality of time to money. So, for instance, let's say you make $200,000 a year. I make $50,000 a year. You have way more fuck you money to just be like, oh, that skin's $60? Or, hey, I can spend another $50 and unlock all the weapons in this game? Ah, no problem. You spend the $50. It's no problem. I spend the $50. I might be eating ramen for the next 3 weeks because I just spent probably two weeks. I just spent my grocery budget on a skin. So I think there should be I agree with a levelizer. I agree with some sort of equalizer. My thought process on it, though, is there should be an equalizer for time to money. And since there's really no way of making an equalizer between time and money, I think in my opinion, the only way to really do it would be to have it as only unlocks in games. Like, you can only unlock for something in game, and there is no purchase those extra unlocks. The only thing I would make a caveat to that would be cosmetics. If it's something shiny, makes me look cool, okay. If you want to throw some extra money at that to make that,
it's go, okay. No, it doesn't add anything to the game other than change how you look.
Yeah, it might look really badass, and you know what, I may look at that and say, man, you know what, I'm gonna save up for that $5 skin because that looks so badass and I want that. And you know what, there's the difference in equality, because you making $200,000, maybe walking around in you know, nice fine suits, and I'm walking around in t-shirts and shorts. But that's the difference in discrepancy. You have more money to work to pay for stuff that look good. I have money to pay for stuff that's functional.
Right, but again, that whole time to money thing is there should be more opportunity in game to earn a reasonable amount of like the in-game currency. I notice in some games there's a stark contrast, like Black Desert, for instance.
Ooh, man.
There is a stark contrast to earning pearls in game versus buying pearls through their store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game right there that is highly predatory on, okay, you need extra storage. Guess what? You need like 8,000 pearls to purchase extra storage.
Mm-hmm.
And to earn like 8,000 pearls, guess what? You're going to spend like a year of playing, or you can spend like $80 to get that pearl pack to you know, get you there.
Yeah, it's actually the game I think about with that, even though I really enjoy the game, I'm going to call it out on this, is Dead by Daylight. Same way. Iridescent shards. To get iridescent shards, you literally have to level up. To get enough iridescent shards to play or to purchase like another player or killer, like, you know, one of those, it takes you like 6 months to a year of playing an average amount of time. Now, I'm not saying like you're playing it 40 hours a week. You're not making it a job. Playing it an average amount of time, it takes you a long time to get those iridescent shards. I've been playing the game for a while, and I took a really big hiatus, but even now I think I've barely got enough to buy one of the like lower tier characters, like one of the lower tier player characters, not or survivors. There we go. So I'm saying now Dead by Daylight is one of those games that I literally just wait until I get super stoned or super drunk, and then I go buy a killer pack because that's just the way I am, and then I just eat ramen for the next couple of weeks.
Reasons for excuses.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I fully know me.
I just think it's funny also how, like, Amazon usually has, like, a 4 million Bloodstone pack for that game and, like, 20, you know, shards or something.
Yeah. No, it's pretty sweet. But yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of predatory practices out there, and I think we've said it plenty of times before, but if us as consumers are willing to pay, they're willing to keep charging.
Right. I mean, even if we're not, all they need to do is hook a few whales and that'll carry them along.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Look at Fortnite. Fortnite hooked so many whales. But anyway, so, that was one of the games I've been playing. I don't know how we just spiraled into a friggin' dark zone there with talking about Exoprimal. Fun game. Check it out, definitely. If you're on and you're playing, look me up, Cecil_Xavier on Steam. I'm more than happy to play with you. The second game I've been playing, though, which leads me into one of the actual production topics I had for today, was I've been playing a game called Marauders. Have you heard of it? Have you seen anything about it? Have you looked at it?
Other than what you and Scarababe, I think it was.
I don't think he's playing Marauders. No, I think I'm the only one. I'm the only one on server playing Marauders, I think.
Okay, well then probably you then.
Scarababe's playing Exoprimal.
Okay.
So maybe you're crossing those wires.
Could be. Absolutely anyway. Could be. But yeah, only in talk.
Marauders is the best way I can describe it is a Tarkov style game. However. Now, first time, and usually when you say Tarkov, you get one of two people. You get people who are like, oh, God, Tarkov. Or you get those people like, oh, man, I enjoy Tarkov. What's it about? I'm one of the first people. Oh, man, Tarkov. I spent all the money on Tarkov, and I think I've played a total of like 10 hours in it because every time I load in, I die. What?
But you doing that, anytime you mention Tarkov, I go, the vision.
Oh, Jesus. Well, yeah, so, like, that was one of my big things of, like, in the Division, you go into the excursion zone and, like, you just get murked and everything you just worked for was gone. And that's Tarkov. Tarkov, you go into the excursion zone and you basically run your way through. And if you get murked by either a AI or a bot that's got AI set to, death level 9,000 or some player who just rolls up on you, like,
powers over 9,000.
Dude, I'm telling you, I swear to you, I was playing Tarkov one time. I thought I saw Vegeta launch a fireball at somebody. I swear I did. But it's a very, you know, it's a style of game now. Like, it's that roguelike that you go in, you get rest up, and you know, you keep going through, you get more gear and stuff. Marauders is early access right now, so it kind of feels like Tarkov in the early days before they turned the AI into like professional snipers, with a professional sniper with a 22 from 4 miles away, which I don't know how that game's out, but you just get murked a lot. So Marauders is kind of like Tarkov in space. You start off literally on a small little like hoser rust bucket ship.
So that's what the Cabals were up to when they finally got the space.
Pretty much, yeah. And you've got different like missions that you got to go through. You got different things that you need to achieve to upgrade your what's-his-face guys, your traders and whatnot. But it's a lot different because you start off in a big kind of like space map where you're looking around this asteroid field looking for things to do, and you can see where players go. So like you see players go to the Terraformer and you're like, well, I don't want to fight today, so I'm not going to the Terraformer. Or you're like, oh, I see a bunch of people breaching Frigate Ship. Well, you know what? I'm feeling like a fight, and I know Frigate Ship really well. I'm going to go to the Frigate Ship and go see if I can murk some people. It's a lot of fun. It's that definitely that you go in, you lose stuff, but it's a little bit more forgiving.
There's no quota and no getting spaced if you don't meet quota.
No, there is no quota and no getting spaced if you don't meet quota. However, you can get murked in space by literally you get out in an escape pod and then somebody just finds you with a 22 millimeter cannon and just wrecks your world. Or the Red Baron rolls by and just fucks you up. Like, that's a thing that happens too. The AI on it is not nearly as like punishing as Tarkov, but there are so many games out there that are like Tarkov. And that was really more the interesting, like, what, like, have you, okay, first off, have you played Tarkov or Marauders or any other game like Tarkov?
Other than COD, no.
Okay, COD is way far from Tarkov.
Oh, I know, but like, you know, shooter style games where you can buy loadouts. No. I couldn't get behind the concept of people and hearing people talk about, oh, I just spent like $40 on a loadout and lost it in 2 seconds.
Oh, so there's no you pay for loadouts. It's all in-game currency. But you do actually pay money in-game, but you can't buy money in-game, if that makes sense. But yeah, you like literally you'll pay like, you know, 20,000-30,000 in-game dollars. But you also get money pretty quick. Like if you get in and you get out with anything, you can just sell it and whatnot. But yeah, like you'll walk in, you'll be like, yeah, I'm fully kitted out. I'm ready to go. And that's one of the fun, kind of like best and worst portions about these games that I love. Case in point, I went in there with Cybader, Otok's brother, and we were playing. And I was just, I got it because I was seeing him playing. I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. I forget how much it was. I was like, I got some fuck you money today. I got paid my on call. I'm going to get this. It seems like an interesting game. And I walk in with him. I have it's not even a Mac 10. It's like this little 32 caliber machine gun. That's like it's like the shit gun that you get at the beginning of the game. It's not quite the shittiest gun you get at the beginning of the game, but it's like the shit gun you get at the beginning of the game. So I walk in, I've got a leather jerkin on. I've got like one of those like flight helmet things on. And I'm like, yeah, I like this. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna go in here. I'm gonna murk some people. So first couple matches, I walk in, just get murked. Hands down, walk around a corner. I think I got murked by a AI bot the first time. Walked around, I stared at him. I was like, hey, is that you? Blam, get shot in the face with a shotgun. I'm like, okay, that wasn't you. Because there's also no way to figure out who your friend is and who your friend isn't, so you have to really communicate a lot. Walked around, we heard a dude breach, and I said, oh, I know where that is. I just came from there. So I walk over there, I walk around the corner, and I see somebody like pop their face out, and they were like full kitted red gear. And that's like Panzer gear, which is like end level, like it's the end game gear that you can get. Dude pops his face out, and I saw him, but then he popped back in, and I'm like, did he see me? Runs around the corner, like literally like he's running at me. I unload, panic, mind you, like I'm not aiming. Like there's no skill involved here. There's literally me looking at the screen and going. it was like that those.
So basically me playing any shooter.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen any of those little shorts where the guy's like, William Knife Man, like that was me. That was like that. Guys come around the corner. I just literally spray and pray. I hit him twice in the face and kill him. Everything else, all my other bullets around him. There was a silhouette in the wall of where I shot around this man, but there were two hits that hit him in his face. And I literally hit him in the only place that Panzer gear did not block, which was right under the eyes, right in the nose. I literally shot the dude twice in the face and killed him, dropped him. Then I stole all of his gear and I escaped as quickly as humanly possible. But there's that's kind of like the fun parts of these games is like you can have random shit like that just happen. Like you go in, you're like, yep, I'm kitted out with nothing. Well, now I'm kitted out with all the best gear from the end game. Hoorah. I promptly lost all that gear the next match when I walked in thinking that I was invincible and I got shot in the face. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't play.
And you didn't remember what happened the day before. The whole nope. How you got the armor?
Oh no, dude, no, it wasn't even the day before. Like I got the armor, I was stoked. I'm like, yes, I took down this big and badass player. And then I go and I'm like, I'm gonna deck this shit out. I'm going in hardcore. I think we went into the mining frigate,
walked in and I'm like, yeah, yeah, I got this badass gun. I got this scope on it. Man, I'm in Panzer armor. Nobody's going to come up on me. I turned to my right, player right there, shot me in the face with a shotgun. I'm dead. And I just looked and I literally was saying to Cybator, it's like, I'm like, yep, I think I hear someone. I get wrecked. And he's like, you okay? I'm like, nope, he killed me. And he goes, really? And all I hear him is, well, I got him. You want me to grab your gear? Second later, nope, you got way too much gear for me to grab. Sorry, bud. Because the cool part is that if you're running with somebody, that person can grab your gear if you die, drag it out, and then give it to you next match. And, you know, I've done that a bunch of times where, like, Cybator got wrecked, and I was like, hey, I'm going to grab your gun for you. It's about all I got room for. He's like, yeah, great, grab it. But there's a bunch of games out here like that, like Tarkov. Like, there's the shooter ones, which obviously are Tarkov Marauders. But have you heard of a game called Darker Than Dark?
Negative.
Take a second and go Google that. This one's important. I'll edit out the dead air. I think it's called Darker Than Dark. No, it's not Darker Than Black. What the hell is it named? Dark and Darker? Okay, hold on.
Darker Than Dark and, the PBD?
Dark and Darker. Sorry. I guess I should probably focus on not drinking so much.
Okay.
All right, so you're checking it out?
This I would try.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I want to try this, but I haven't because I don't know anybody else who's playing it. This is an early access. It was on Steam for a while, then got kicked off, blah, 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 blah. But this is like, the way it's been described to me is Tarkov, but in medieval times.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, one of the big things that you'll find here, so pro tip or immoral tip, and if you go down that route, there are no crosshairs. So literally any crosshair that you have is from the weapon you have. So like in Tarkov and Marauders, when you go and you zoom in, you're using iron sights to fight. If your weapon
or if you have a monitor like mine, I can add
a red sights. Dot. Yep. Yeah. That's why I can
add crosshairs. I can add red dot. I can add many different styles of crosshair.
That's what I was going to say. Pro tip, if you've got a piece of tape with a little red Sharpie, you can make your own and make this a lot easier on you. But there's a lot of argument on that, whether that's immoral, unethical, blah, blah, blah. I say, if that's what you have to do to enjoy the game,
I mean, go if for gaming it. Monitors are coming with that feature standard, how is that immoral?
Because it gives you an unfair advantage to somebody who couldn't afford that monitor. It's a pay-to-win thing again.
I don't see it like that. It's like a car. You're buying. You get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you do.
I mean, just because my car has a Bluetooth connectivity and your older car doesn't.
Well, then we fall back onto the same thing of, if I can pay for the bonus packs that unlock all the weapons that give me the superior firepower in a game, is that immoral? Is that unethical? All
right, touché.
So, I mean, I think we fall down the rabbit hole on that, but that's why I just kind of put that caveat on it. I'm a big fan, personally, I'm a big fan of, I want to play the game on how it's meant to be played. And I'm hoping I'm playing with people, others that want to play the game as it's meant to be played. If not, then okay. I mean, I'm not, I got nothing vested in it. I'm a fucking super competitive person, but I don't be that way in video games because I get really bad like that. I don't want to be an asshole. Well, I mean, I am an asshole. I just don't want to be that asshole. But yeah, Darker Than Dark. It looks a lot like Tarkov, but there's
wow, and it's not even on Steam.
No, it's not. It was on Steam, but it was removed from Steam. You know what? I never did look up why it was removed from Steam. Maybe I can find a quick thing on that now while we're talking.
That's crazy.
Dark and Darker, unusual Steam removal is the result of a legal battle over copyright issues surrounding the game, as reported by Eurogamer. The game was delisted in March following a DMCA takedown notice that Iron Mace received from a major game publisher, Nexon. Those are the same people that make MapleStory, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Now I got to look at that. Thankfully, we've got the World Wide Web sitting here at our fingertips. And I'm looking, Vindictus. They make Vindictus. MapleStory, yep. They make MapleStory. But yeah, anyway, so Dark and Darker. But they all have very similar elements. And this is actually kind of like, now that we've entered our whole way into here, this is where I ask the question of, what are your thoughts on those type of mechanics where
like, unlike Ark or unlike a survival game where you drop your gear, you can run out and go grab it. This is literally a, when you drop your gear in the game, it's gone. Like, there are sometimes insurance things that you can do to get some of your gear back, but, you know, otherwise, it's gone. Like, you've dropped it, there's no way of getting it back, you've got to repurchase all that gear or remake all that gear. What are your feelings on that type of game mechanic?
It's like, in my opinion, when you play, say, Terraria, Doom, or any other game that has a permadeath, guess what? That's just consequences of the game.
But those games, you have a choice between using a permadeath system or a non-permadeath
system. If this is standard, then that's just part of the game.
Understood.
You should understand that before going into the game, if you're making all these purchases, and these purchases would be hard currency, real world.
No. So in game,
then
it's all like progression based.
Your time in game earning gold or whatever the currency is, and losing it, then it's okay. Reboot.
But my question is, what's your opinion on those? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Is that something you shy away from?
I don't favor them, but it doesn't stop me from trying a game. It just depends on how quickly you can earn after a loss.
Okay. So if it's a slow grind, you may be like, meh. If it's a decent grind, you know, okay, I lost this match. It took me 4 matches to get all that gear. It'll take me another 4 matches to get that gear.
Right. If the grind is a burden to get there, it's not worth it to me. But if it's a grind where it's fun doing that grind after every reset of losing your gear, then great. I mean, that's fun. But if it becomes a burdenful chore, I don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think that's most games. Oh, I hope that's most games. Like, if it's not fun, like, I don't play anymore.
Destiny.
It became a burdenful
chore. And I was like, I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. Having to spend, like, literally logging every day to get your dailies done and just maintain and stay relevant to the game. I can definitely agree with that because but there's a lot of games like that I feel the same way about. You got to log in, you got to do your dailies. Most MMOs now are pretty much that way. But yeah, I get it. No, it was one of those curiosity things of like, so, I mean, my opinion on it, like Tarkov might be one that I can't quite talk against because when I got it, I literally spent like the $250 to get the top tier premium pack. And I didn't realize all the stuff I got with it until later on when I was talking to some other people playing it. They're like, well, I don't have any of that. I got to do this to unlock this. I got to do that to unlock that. I don't have the bigger. I'm like, oh, man, so I did pay to win. That sucks. And I suck at this game, so I'm not really winning. So I paid to not win. But that's why I like Marauders doesn't seem to have that tier package. At least I haven't found it yet. If I find it, I'll probably buy it. But I haven't yet. That's why I kind of like it, because it's a little bit slower pace. It's all progression. Sometimes you can go in, wreck some people, get out with some great gear, and sometimes you don't. Another mechanic that I found in Tarkov-like games that make them very interesting or appealing to me is they have it's called Scav Run in Tarkov. It's kind of Raider Run in Marauders. I don't know what's called in Dark and Darker. But it's literally, you go in with nothing. Like, you are a non-kitted person. You walk in, and they kit you out as if you were an NPC. You basically take control of an NPC. And then you play through, and your whole goal is to escape, but as an NPC. So if you make it out, like if you don't touch anything, if you just beeline straight for an exit, you get out and whatever gear you have on you, you now have and you can go sell. Or if you happen to take out or search or explore while you're in there, you get to do other, you know, you get to take all of that out with you and sell it or use it or whatever. I think the inception of that into those games have made them much better game to play, because then I can go through, not risk any of my own equipment, still run through and learn the map, which is really important. And then I have an opportunity there to do all that. And I don't have to like waste my own gear to do that or go in completely naked and pretty much get, you know, butt fucked by the next thing that walks around a corner.
I hate getting butt fucked by the next thing that walks around the corner.
It all depends on how high I am, but mostly I agree.
I mean, usually it's a big old fucking bad dragon.
You saw that one. Yeah, next time you come down, I'm going to feed you a lot of what's his face? A lot of gummy. And you're going to wake up with that thing next to you. And you're going to wonder, just for a second,
Did he?
I mean, $20 is $20.
I know. I'll leave $20 there, obviously. Oh, as we digress.
The obscenity.
Oh, obscenity. But those two games have been the games I've been playing mostly. I did touch into another game that I am having trouble finding the name of. It's called The Complex. You know how much I love interactive fiction or interactive games. Yes. Or interactive stories, I call them. Or what the hell was I calling them? Yeah, that's what I was calling them, interactive stories. So The Complex is actually a movie, like literally a filmed movie, live action, like the whole nine yards. But it's got the sister from Letterkenny in it.
Okay. All right.
That's what I said. The picture of it came up. Hold on. I got to show you this, because this is the picture I saw of it. I'm like, the fuck? Hold on. Right there.
All right.
So I saw that and my brain immediately stopped working and I went, who the hell is that? I know that person. I recognize that. Who is that? So I literally fired up, watched the trailer, and I'm like, my God, I know this person. They are famous. Why can I not recall their name? And then off in the background, I heard, ding, marijuana affects the memory. And then I went, yeah, I know who it is. And then I found her and I was like, oh, it's a Leonard Kenny chick. Interesting story. Like I would put it to like a B movie, acting wise, you know, whatnot, but I'd put it as like a B movie, but it's like a choose your own adventure. Definitely entertaining.
All right.
Obviously I've been playing Skyrim cause I'm still trying to get through that, but I did make a purchase because I got it pretty cheap of the Callisto Protocol. I haven't played it yet, but it's from the original makers of Dead Space. I think the team that made Dead Space, they made the Callisto Protocol. Everything I've read about it says that it's incredibly short and that the finale is locked behind a $10 DLC. And I went, eh, still worth a shot. So I haven't played it yet. Have you played it?
Never even heard of it.
It came out a bit ago. Like it wasn't super long ago. When did it come out? 2022. So a little bit ago. And it had a very Dead Space feel to it. Dead Space look and feel. I don't know. I was kind of excited to play it, and then it just kind of fell off the face of the planet. I think news of the Dead Space remake came out, and I'm like, I gotta play that. And I just forgot about the Callisto Protocol. But it looks good. It looks interesting.
I still gotta get to that, the remake.
Of Dead Space?
Yeah. I watched you play, but I haven't played it myself. I haven't even bought it yet.
Dude. Next time it goes on sale, if you don't get it, I'm getting it for you. Because that game is chef's kiss. Like, it's well done. They changed it. Like, it's enough of the original storyline to be, like, true to the game. But they've changed enough in it to make it feel better. Like, the whole like, do you remember the original Dead Space game? You would go to the different areas by logging into the tram. You'd get on the tram would get you to the different area, and then it would load up that area. Now they've made it one consecutive thing. Like, you can literally walk from one end of the ship to the other without using the tram and back and get access to all that stuff because they made it like a literal ship, so you could walk back and forth on it. Really good.
So there's no more portaling about.
You don't have to use the tram. You absolutely can, but you don't have to use the tram. There's a lot of other improvements in it that I'm not talking about, but it's good.
That's what the tram made me think of, though. It made me think of Portal. When you clear a stage, hop on the tram, go to a new area.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. That's what it was in Dead Space. You'd like, okay, I'm done with this area. I'm going to the next area. Oh, I got to backtrack and go back to the bridge. So I'm jumping on the tram and going back to the bridge. And that was like the only way you could get there.
Every time I hopped on the tram in Dead Space, I was waiting for Gladys to chime in.
Yeah, good call. So leads me on to my next segment, or my next question. Have you been tracking this game Pal World by any chance?
I heard a lot of controversy on it, and seen a few blasts on Instagram and Facebook and everything about it. I've seen a few mockeries of it in comparison to Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about my extent.
I am avoiding it on purpose because I have been burned in the past by the fad game coming out and then everybody playing it for a really short period of time
and then nobody plays it again, and I get really vested into it. I'm gonna use Valheim as an excuse, or sorry, as an example. Valheim, when it came out, when like before it really hit big, we had not heard about it, we grabbed it, but then like once it hit big, all of us wanted to play it. We set up a server, it was great.
Yep.
And we were playing it, and then like 2 weeks later, it fell off the face of the planet. Like, it was big and then just dropped. I was so vested in that game, I still kept playing the damn thing. I'm like, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Even, and nobody else was around.
Yeah, even when I hit the 75% completion, because that's all the game that was available, and I still played for quite a while and stopped for like a year. Then I saw the announcement, hey, the rest of the game will soon be dropped, and I lost track of it because, you know, work. Mm. And you and Gurr were talking with me one night, and I was like, yeah, I'm just waiting for the rest of the game to drop. And Gurr was like, it's already out, man. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And
then Ashland's coming out recently.
Yeah. Yep.
Or coming out soon. Not recently. It's coming out soon. The new biome.
Yeah.
But that was the thing, is that I love the game. I played it, and then everybody just kind of dropped it, and it's like, but this is such a good game. Why did we drop it? And, you know, it was just some people like yourself, you made it way farther than I did. And other people made it way farther than I did. And then there were other people that just got bored of it and just stopped playing, or times didn't line up and we didn't play together. And it was just like, ah. So now PAL Worlds comes out. Everybody's talking about it. Sold X number of copies. Everybody I know, well, not everybody I know, but let's just say over half the people that I know have been like, you're going to get PAL Worlds. You can play PAL Worlds. We're getting PAL Worlds together. I'm like, no. Oh man, you're missing out. No, I don't think I am. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying I'm going to wait until the end of February. If it's still being talked about at the end of February, I'll pick it up and play. Oh, but you're going to be so far behind. Okay, I'll be so far behind. I don't give a shit.
I mean, if it's anything Pokemon-like, there is no far behind.
I've watched a couple of people play just to see what it was like. It looks interesting. It looks like your typical survival game, but you've got slaves.
Right, exactly. It's Pokemon, but not only can you catch creatures, but you can catch people as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems that way. And it seems that you can take your creatures and be like, hey, guess what? You're now working on my sugarcane plantation, and you're going to make me lots of money. And this is not immoral in any way, shape, or form, because everybody else playing PAL World is doing it. It's like, I'm surprised that this game hasn't gotten some sort of backlash from some sort of minority group saying this is depicting something that really shouldn't be accepted and used. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's not.
West Indies sugar trade.
Yep. So yeah. So like, I'm totally down. Like, I'm okay with it being there. I'm okay. I think it's a great game. It looks like a great game. It looks like a fun game. I'm just not going to play it until I see it's going to stick around for a little while.
Until it matures a little more.
Well, it's just I get so frustrated when a group of people like, yeah, let's play this game. And then it ends up being I'm either always behind or I'm playing Keeping Up with the Joneses. That's why I liked Exoprimal, because Exoprimal, I don't need to play with other people. I can jump on there. And even if I get with a bunch of blueberries who suck, I still accomplish something. Like, I still feel like I've made headway. Even if it's only small headway, I still feel like I made headway. And it feels rewarding. It feels satisfying. But with a game like, I mean, mostly other survival game, Valheim, 7 Days to Die, you know, you play solo and it's like, okay, I'm playing solo and I'm building up this and I'm building up that and I'm making progress. And then you get other people that'll just jump on and be like, well, yeah, I've got this base that's 4 stories tall, goes seven layers deep into the earth. And pretty much it can thermonuke any zombie that gets within 500 yards of it just because of these mounted turrets. It's like, dude, I've got a hole with spikes in it and a couple of things holding up a platform that I stand on at night so I don't get eaten.
I'm one of those ambitious sons of bitches. I'm actually on day 62, 64, something like that, in 7 Days to Die.
Okay. But I mean, that's why, like, I'm just kind of ignoring PAL World for a little bit, just to wait and see if it has some longevity or not. I hate trying to keep up with the Joneses on this stuff. It's fun, you know, it was fun 10 years ago, but now it's just become kind of a chore to constantly try to keep up. Well, you know, in a game that's supposed to be social, you know, you're supposed to jump in and hang out with people and do stuff. And it's like, well, now it's less about hanging out and doing stuff. And like, and that's why that's like Destiny, you know, hey, let's go do this raid. I'm not leveled enough. Oh, okay. Well, let's level you. Well, it's going to take me a couple weeks to get there.
Yeah. That's my gripe with a lot of things, like jumping in the games and people have been playing for a while and your level really matters.
Yeah.
Like if you're going into like say Destiny a raid and you know shits and giggles, your light level is 3000, the person joining you is like 2950. And everybody else is 3000 plus, that 2950 is going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make it makes a difference. But the same way, like in 7 days to Die, like if you start off when you're level zero or whatever, and you start running through, somebody who's been playing it and is jacked up to like level 99, it's like, yeah, they've already unlocked a majority of the stuff. And it makes it frustrating to try to play next to him because you're like, yeah, I'm learning, I'm developing. Yeah, I'm already level 99. Okay. Yeah, here, I'll just give you all this gear. It's like, well, that's great, but I didn't earn any of it, so it's not fun. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird and old school. Maybe my super competitive that has spawned an anti-competitiveness in me has turned into a get off my lawn type of case.
Could be. Never know. I mean, there are certain games where I don't mind handouts, and then there are games where I do mind the handouts.
I guess it all depends on what the handout is. Yeah. Like if there's some sort of equalizer in the game, like some sort of leveling of the playing field, like, okay, so let's actually go back to that Tarkov. When I was in Tarkov and somebody was like, hey, and I'm like, yeah, I've got nothing. I'm just running around with a hatchet right now. And literally the person I was playing with was like, well, here, hold on, take this. And they just dropped this god tier level gun. That literally I can just like shoot past somebody and they'll rip their arm off. I'm like, Jesus, like, you sure you don't need this? He's like, no, I got three more. I'm probably going to die and lose it anyways. But like that type of handout, I'm like, oh, okay. Cause there's a chance I would have found it in the match some way or somehow anyways. Just happened to be that person just like, here, take it. So like that, I guess I don't mind. Cause there's kind of an equalizer of any one of us could just get murked the next second and we'd lose all of our gear anyways. And plus, they've had to play a shit ton to earn all their stuff anyways, or they had to steal it from somebody by killing them. So, I mean, like that, yeah. But like in Terraria, where there's kind of like a looping progression, where it's like, okay, well, I made it this far. Now I've made it to this character. Now I've gotten this. Now I've earned this. Now I know how to get this. Now I know a place where I can go get this gear or get this material to make this gear. So now if I lose this gear, I know where I can go back and get more. Yeah, maybe I'm just at the get off my lawn stage, though.
It's all right. You could be Gran Torino all you want.
Yeah, I guess I got to start yelling at people walking up near my house.
Get off my goddamn lawn, you son of a bitch.
Well, final thoughts. What do you got? Any final thoughts before we end out?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but in my Discord, I've been posting a lot of updated information and stuff for something that I've been working on for a couple of years. It's a D&D campaign, but I kind of want to turn it into a fan fiction because I don't think I'm ever going to run all the progression to get to that point. So yeah, my final thoughts is I need more time in the day to work on stuff like that. I need to find like even, if possible, a ghostwriter to help me organize all of the information that I'm dumping in. I mean, I've gone as far as like coming up with like a song for like one of the characters and like reference notes and shit like that.
I admittedly have not read through all of it because I was like, that's a lot of stuff I got to get through. But yeah, you should totally turn it into a fanfic. Or, I mean, if you don't want to run a game on it, because like one of the things I actually, and this is a cheat, just a heads up, I started like when I would get a rut in whatever story I had, I would throw it into a D&D campaign, like throw the scene into the D&D campaign somehow, see what the players did. And if they just didn't like do a fuck around and find out if they actually did something that was good, that ended up being part of the story.
Yeah. like all of this takes place in the whole Forgotten Realms world, mm-hmm. but my own take on some of the areas.
Yeah, that's fine. Like everybody does that. I think every DM does that. They take theirs. Like a lot of my stuff happens in Flannis, but it's not the Flannis from the books. It's the Flannis that I've amalgamated into a Flannis.
Right. I kind of also have a thought of, I don't care if someone's, you know, use the idea they probably have already, but like a post-apocalyptic for Forgotten Realms world.
Technically, I think Forgotten Realms is post-apocalyptic because it's after the big fall of magic.
Right. I mean, this is
Fallout more dystopian
style. Yeah. More Fallout style. And in my head, there's four Trasks roaming the land. And the only city that's left is the city that's sunk in sort of like Matrix style, a couple miles deep in the earth, and is a sanctuary to Alesti, one of the drow goddesses that are trying to redeem the drow.
So you kind of have like kaiju battles happening on the surface then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Gotcha.
And one of the only elements to keep everything running are from these Trask, and you have to sift through their feces. You even have to try and kill one because, well, Trask they are pretty much immortal for the most part. They respawn like a phoenix.
So you kind of went down the realm of Dune with the spice being worm shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
I like it. I like it. Amalgamation of stories. I'm digging it.
Right?
Very cool. Well, my final thoughts. We've got a great guest coming on next round. Hoping everything works out and he makes his way here. So he's an actor, writer, producer. He works with Nerdbot Studios. Does a lot of stuff there. So hopefully he's going to be on next show. So stay tuned for that. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. You know, subscribes help people find the podcast. Check out www.gnapodcast.com. Admittingly, I have not been updating that website for the past year. I got to get back on that train. I've also upgraded my computer since then, so I've got to get all my tools back on here because I just kind of like fell off that wagon. But we're hopefully going to get back up and running and get that site looking a little bit sleeker, a little bit cooler, a little bit neater. Or at least being updated. At the very least, being updated. So, well, Diver, thanks for joining me, man.
Absolutely, brother. Anytime.
Had fun time talking about this because it's always interesting to get another person's perception on it. And actually, you know, you brought up a good point about that whole, you know, predatory practice thing. I wasn't even thinking about that with Exopriable, but yeah, you pointed that out. That's a good call.
I mean, it's out there. A lot of games do the side purchase stuff, but I mean, that's how they want to make their money.
If people are going to pay.
Exactly.
All right, man. You have a good one.
You as well, brother.